Let us remain standing and bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful for this day and for the message which you have put in our heart. And I believe, Lord, that this understanding will give us more energy toward the going home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. So this morning we'll be looking at Satan's Eden number 263, the anointing in the New Jerusalem. Now last week I mentioned of seeing Moses and Elijah in the tent. Satan's Eden, Brother Peter, after service yesterday or last week, when he got home, I'd asked him while we're talking, he said he had a quote. So I asked him if he could send it because Brother Bram actually said this, okay? So when he got home, he sent me the quote where Brother Bram spoke of Moses and Elijah, how they appeared on each side of Jesus Christ when John saw the second coming in a prefigure, in a vision before him. Now, Brother Branham says from the exposition of seven church ages, he said they saw him transfigured there on the mountaintop. His raiment was blazing white and his face shone like the sun at its zenith. And there as he appeared stood Moses and Elijah on either side. Now, if you stop reading what he said there, you'll miss what he says immediately. Because immediately he says that is exactly how he's coming again. So do not be surprised at who you will see in the tent. Now, another quote concerning his resurrection is worth noting here. He says, and then remember, if we go before he comes, we will be up and in his presence and raised before the others are changed. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Look at the order of the resurrection. So God has an order to all things. Look at the order of the resurrection. See, God knows that we long to see our loved ones, and if we got there to meet him first, we'd be looking around to see if mother or dad or the rest of them was there. But see, excuse me, but see how the Holy Spirit in his wisdom, we meet one another first, and then when we get there and sing Amazing Grace, that's when there's going to be a time of worship. So we actually see who made it first, and then he comes on the scene, and wow, that's going to be a really amazing time. And from his sermon called Mother's Day, Brother Branham said, as the light begins to spread, we'll know as we are known. We'll understand and we'll remember our acquaintances and the ones that's been there. And there'll be many there that we didn't even think that would be there. For you know, it's at that time that I believe that the bread that we have cast upon the human troubled waters will return to us on that day. When we see the effects of our testimony on people that we didn't understand their actions toward it, we'll probably be there. What a day that will be. And then the seeds that we have sown, not even thinking what they would do, but here they are. They brought forth precious fruits, and we'll see them on that day. And then one more quote from Mother's Day. It says, as that great light begins to spread, as we begin to look around and the great circle will be getting greater and greater, it's all just reflecting the approaching of Jesus. And after a while, as the song said, and I shall see Jesus at last, we will be waiting for, he will be waiting for me, Jesus so kind and true. On his beautiful throne, he'll welcome me home after this day is through. Then, as we see him and will not be as we are now, we'll know how to love him more. Now listen to what he says. We'll not stand back with a little fear because we'll be like him. He'll be more of a relative to us than he is now. See, Paul called him our eldest brother in a vast family of brothers. We'll understand him better because we're so far away in this mortal body. Then we'll have a body like his glorious body. We'll know how to worship him. And when we see that presence of his being has done to us, changed us, the old back young, all the deformed straighten out, oh, we'll understand then why his power healed us. The question has been in our mind, how can he do it? How can he do it? this. Somehow, mysteriously, they'll all fade away. The knots that's been tied in the back of our minds will be this. How could it be? Somehow or another, a majestic finger will just unravel those knots, and it'll all fade into one big crown of love. Now, I had another quote. I forgot to put it in here. But when Brother Branham also talks of the resurrection, he talks about all those Old Testament saints will be there. So that goes in line with the one with Moses and Elijah, because they're Old Testament saints as well. All right. Now, as I mentioned, Brother Branham had a desire to go to Israel. But God said, it's not time. Well, and then he's told us, he said, he's a Gentile. They wouldn't receive it from him. So Moses and Elijah will take it. And he says, you know, so they will have to receive this message at the consummation when all the saints from all ages are gathered together, and then they will take it to Jerusalem. Now, today we'll pick up at paragraph 85 of Satan's Eden and talk about the atmosphere in the New Jerusalem. Last week we spoke on the trumpets being for the Jews only, and the New Jerusalem about its dimensions. Now, today we will talk about the anointing in the New Jerusalem, because it's not only good enough to know that the New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles in depth, and then 1,500 miles high. That's over 7 million square miles. Okay, that's a lot of place. This gives for a lot of people. But we want to know what it's going to be like when we get there. We know that it has streets that are paved with transparent gold. That's going to be tremendous, but what else? Okay. Well, over in Satan's Eden, Brother Bram said, over in Revelation 21, he said, and I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven. There was no more sea. So you see, the earth is covered by, I think, what is this, 70% or something of the earth right now, or what, is that right, correct? 70% of the earth, and just like the human being is 70% water, well, the world is covered by 70% water. All right. Well, that's going to be no more sea. So there's going to be all kinds of room in the new earth for lots of people. But there'll only be 7 million square miles, which is a lot of a square mile, for the elect. So we'll have plenty of room to spread out. Now, the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. What was the first heaven? It was the millennium. Okay, so we're going to the first heaven, the bride, only the elect will be there. Then after the millennium, they have the white throne, and then all who did kind to the bride will be there. They'll be given life, okay? So what's the first earth? Well, was this, okay? He's telling us that when we go to the millennium, it will be like being in heaven. Now think of that. For a millennium, we'll be living in the condition comparable to being in heaven. Think of all the implications that tell us. We'll be living in a body, but no pain, no sorrow, no health problems, nobody looking over your back to see what you're doing, no economic problems. It will be better than having a billionaire invite you to stay. How many would like to be invited by a billionaire to stay in their house? Okay? You think of that and how wonderful that would be. But your room is better than anything that you ever thought about. No worries. You are housed. You are sheltered. You sit down to the best food. No medical worries. No personal conflicts. Just peace everywhere. It'll be renovated. Just like it was baptized by Noah in the days of his preaching, was sanctified by Christ as he sprinkled the blood upon it, and it'll be renovated. Take all the germs and everything off of it. That's why it's destroyed the first time by man's atomic fire. Then we have the millennium on the ashes of the wicked. Then at the end of the millennium, God renovates the whole earth, completely the atmosphere, everything, and takes every demon, every virus. Remember, Brother Brown said germs are demons, okay? He takes it all out. And it's only there for his children. Just think of that one statement. It'll be renovated, he says here. That means no more health issues, no more medical bills, no more disease, no more germs, no more bacteria, no more viruses. Think about it. Nothing but good health all the time. You're going to feel good all the time. Isn't that wonderful? There won't be a need for any hospital, no doctor visits. There won't be even be a need for God to express his attributes as the great physician, because you don't need any physician, okay? So you won't need that part of God anymore. We won't need it there. In the renovation at the end, with a fire baptism that'll kill every germ, every sickness, every disease, every filth that was ever in the earth. There won't be no more women dressed immodestly, or men with ugly hairdos and skin tight, whatever. She'll burst forth and come forth a new earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. First heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. Now there'll be lakes and there'll be rivers, but there's no more sea. Okay. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven. There God will be with us. And by the way, for you that are new here today, anything that's in blue is Brother Branham. Anything in red is the Bible. Now, sometimes Brother Branham quotes the Bible, so that's going to be red. But it's still his quote, okay? So you see, most of this is blue and red. There God will be with his true attribute, sons and daughters, where he can fellowship with them in holiness, with their eyes blinded to any sin. Your eyes will be blinded to anything that is of sin, that's of unbelief. That is really wonderful. There'll never be no more sin from there on. So what is sin? Unbelief. I do not know if you can ever get a glimpse of the atmosphere that we will be living in. No televisions, no radio, no movies, no public indecency, no more any evil influences, none, period. Now, I remember, because I'm old enough, to remember when there wasn't televisions. When they first came out in the 50s, they came out with a little box that was this big, and the little screen that was this big, and it was in a huge case. That's what television was. And of course, my dad, he bought one, and he allowed us one program a week, and it happened to be his favorite, which was Jackie Gleason, okay? So, what is sin? It's unbelief. And all we get in the media today is unbelief. Everything is fake. You got fake medicine, fake education. You know, the kids today can't even get jobs. They got master's degrees, and they can't even get jobs because there isn't any jobs for them, you know? And maybe they're starting in the wrong field. I don't know, because there is a few places. But, you know, if you look, AI can't do plumbing, so become a plumber. AI can't do electrician work, so be an electrician. It can do programming, so I don't know if it pays to be a programmer. But if you can fix a computer, it can't do that, okay? So there's things that are out there that AI can't do. Can't do carpentry. You see, can't do farming. So there are things that it cannot do, okay? But they've already said that something like 70%, Google announces, 70% of all programming today, all startup programming today, is done by AI. 70%. Well, guess what? 70% of the programmers are looking for work, okay? So, as I said, no television, no radio, no movies, no public indecency, no more any evil influences, none, period. Now, you'll be able to just live in peace and view the beauty of his holy mountain. Isn't it wonderful that we have a place to go that is just full of peace and there is not one distraction? Now, holy means sanctified. So daily walking and fellowshipping together and not worried about the drive home, okay? I know we have people that live 3 hours from here, and most of you live an hour from here, but there's no driving to get for fellowship. Just travel like a thought, you'll be there, okay? And all of this in his presence. Think about it. Just think about it. You're in the presence of God eternally from here out. Don't think, well, what if I make a mistake and do something evil? You won't even think it. It won't be in your thought. It won't be in your vocabulary. There won't be any evil. It'll just be righteousness and just wanting to be in his presence. It's just full of, listen, in the presence of the Lord is what? Fullness of joy. It's just eternal joy. Amen. That's going to be wonderful. And all of this in his presence and enjoying what comes with walking in his presence. Remember, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. So you are cleansed. Not, well, I got somehow in the recesses of my mind a bad thought. Not how I got somewhere in a DNA, you know, a troubling spirit. No, it's all gone. It's cleansed. We won't have blood over there, so you won't have to take your blood pressure anymore.
Amen.
All right? It says flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you're going to be in a state where I don't know what kind of surface we'll have on us, but it isn't flesh like we think of flesh, because flesh is every square inch of flesh has a corpuscle or has a vessel that goes to it, and there won't be any more vessels. So we won't need whatever that kind of flesh is. We'll have something that's going to be there eternally. And all of this in his presence and enjoying what comes with walking in his presence. We try now. But because he is not visible in our dimension, we have our struggles. So let's all admit that, okay? But then we will be living in his dimension, enjoying his creation in perfect, in perfection and harmony in peace. We won't look at our brother or sister and say, well, you know, I don't like this about them. We won't even care. Like Brother Bram, you know, he would come to church and he'd have on a dark suit top and a white bottoms or something. You know, he didn't match. Now, I'm sure his wife got upset about it, but he didn't care. And you shouldn't either. Just, you know, you do your best for God. Well, Brother Bradley says, let us strive hard. Don't be deceived in this day, but strive to enter into the gate. For all that will be left out will be whoremongers and lusters. No one who is evil will be there. Now, can you imagine that? You know, you're kind of haunted in your neighborhood by some evil people. You won't have them there. That's going to be tremendous. No one you see in the news and question their motives will be there. There won't be anything or anyone to prevent perfect peace. Whosoever looketh about a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery in her with her. All on the outside will be ill-famed women, ill-famed men, and so forth. And only those that are redeemed and in the Lamb's book of life will enter into the gate. Today you live to retire, right? I mean, we all want to retire someday. I can't because I'm a preacher, but I can at least scale down a bit. And then when you retire, all you spend your time on is trying to stay alive, okay? By the time you're old enough to retire, your body's so broken that you wish you had retired when you were young enough to enjoy living. Like, why didn't I have the kids when I'm older and so I could have enjoyed those younger days? You know, or why don't I work now to keep myself preoccupied, and I could have been taking 20 years off and just kind of, it doesn't work that way. We don't have the energy to work now. We have the energy to work then. We didn't have the physical means to have children now, so we have them then. So what happens is we take care of our grandkids and we put our time into our grandkids, probably more than we did with their own kids. And that's kind of a shame, but that's the truth, okay? But when you are young, you save so that you can enjoy retirement. And if you've saved enough, you are too tired to enjoy what you have planned and saved for all your life, okay? So you have nowhere to spend it. And if you try to enjoy all the things when you are young, you won't have time to really enjoy it, or you won't make enough money to have any left over when you are older. Okay? So it's kind of a paradox. You know, God put us in these bodies for a purpose, and that's to get us to turn our eyes on Jesus. Okay? You know, it's a paradox. When you are young enough to enjoy things, you have to work to pay them. Then when you live all your life saving so that you can enjoy them, you are so broken in your body that you can't enjoy them. So why would you even want them? Like Brother Don, he just started giving away everything a couple years before he died. He said, you know, Brother Bram said, you should unpack, you know, to go there. He said, we all pack, you know, when we go on a vacation, but he said, you should start unpacking, you know, get all the heaviness off of yourself and just focus on him. So can't you see why Brother Don unpacked his last few days? His body was so broken, he couldn't enjoy what he did have, so he just gave everything away. From Anointed Ones at the End Time, Brother Branham says, we are of the New Jerusalem. You know what the word of means? Out from. O-F, out from. It's a acronym. We are of, out from, the New Jerusalem. Of above where the world, or where the word come from predestination, excuse me. Not old Jerusalem that perishes, but the New Jerusalem that can't perish. Not the old Jerusalem built by man, but the New Jerusalem built by God. See, the word up there now being made manifest, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'll go to prepare them for you. The Creator is making the streets of gold and so forth. That's the one that doesn't perish. Now remember, in the millennium, we build houses and things like that, but and we plant gardens or whatever. But in the New Jerusalem, it's already prepare. He's spending 2,000 years preparing everybody's mansion, everybody's palace, everybody's place. That is so wonderful. The great architect who created the heavens and the earth is planning it all. You won't have to pay a cent because he paid the price. Amen. For you. It's his blood. Okay? Can you imagine a city where the streets are made of the most precious metal that man strives to attain? And there we will walk on it. How many of you say, oh, you know what? I'm going to grab a chunk of this asphalt here. And it is a precious thing to me because I walk. I'm going to grab a whole thing of asphalt. And maybe I'll collect asphalt. You'd be nuts. Look, if your feet walk on it, it's underneath you, correct? Well, in Japan, I remember going there years ago, they said, don't, when you sit, like, you know, you're sitting now, which I don't care, in our country, we don't care, but, you know, you cross your legs, right? We do that in America. You can't do that over there, because if you put your foot high, then you're showing disrespect to the person you're sitting across. So I learned that you don't cross your feet or cross your legs when you're in Japan. You keep your feet planted, because that's a disrespect. You can't put your feet up on the desk, because if you put your feet up on the desk and the boss walks in, you've just showed the boss that you think he's lower than your feet. So what is asphalt? It's below our feet. So what will gold be? It'll be below you, brother, sister. You won't even want it because all the streets are paved with transparent gold. It's so pure, not a mineral else than gold. And it's so pure that it'll be under your feet. Wow, that is so tremendous to think about. That shows you that you are more precious than all the wealth that gold can buy. Amen. He shed the blood of his son, which was God's blood, so that you can be there. Many people go on vacation to places like Disneyland and spend their hard-earned currency for just an entrance fee. But he paid the price with his own blood. And so you can live or stay with him for eternity. It's not just a stay, it's you're going to live. And all your housing is paid for. Can you imagine that? Your billionaire friend invites you and says, you know what, I like you, so I'm just going to give you a house to live in. Well, then you got to pay the taxes. You got to pay the insurance. You got to pay this and that. No insurance, no taxes, no repairs. He's a great architect, and it's all given. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. And all your housing paid for. He provides a tree of life for your food, and it changes its fruit every month. So, you know, if you get tired, how many people like vanilla wafers? I love vanilla wafers. But you know what? If I ate vanilla wafers for a month, I think I would look for another thing to eat. Okay. But over there, he changes it for you. Every month, the tree of life gives a different fruit, okay? Just think about it. He's thinking all these things in advance. So that means different tastes to give you an excited palate. You know, how many people like almond bark? I love almond bark, but you know what? After about four or five pieces, I just can't eat any more almond bark. But he gives you a change of fruit so that you are so happy with what he does. You know, the people get tired of manna. Can you imagine that, getting tired of manna? We're not going to get tired of God's manna because it's the fruit and it changes every month. You know how when you come across something that excites your palate, you can't resist eating more than just once. You know, like the commercials, you know, you can't eat just one. Well, God don't want you bored. All right. People think, oh, man, I'm going to be sitting there. I'm going to be so bored because I can't watch my video games, or I can't do this, or I can't. Listen, you won't even think about your video games. When I was a child, we didn't have video games. We didn't have television. We were lucky to have a radio. You know, what did we do? We played. We had fun. We spent all day long. My mother said, don't come home till your dad gets home. And we'd go out in the woods about a half mile away. And it was just nothing but woods for everywhere. And a creek down there. We played, you know, cops and robbers. Or we played, you know, soldiers. Or we played cowboys and Indians. We just did things all the time. We found time. And when we got older, we just turned it to sports. And we're playing soccer and playing field hockey with tennis balls. And we're doing all kinds of things. Then in the wintertime, we went skiing. We played hockey. We went skating. We did all. We had fun all the time outside, not inside, strapped to a monitor. And just like a bunch of vegetables. That's why the kids are all getting fat today, because they don't do exercise, okay? So God don't want you bored. It's not going to be boring in the New Jerusalem, not for 1 minute. He takes care of that issue. Your diet changes. Your views are breathtaking. Can you imagine being 1,500 miles up and looking at out upon the rest of the world? I mean, my goodness, and the waterfalls and the rivers and, you know, the river of life and just all the different things God has for us. You know, the lakes. I mean, I've asked the Lord, I said, when I get there, I want to have a lake in my front yard, and I want to have a river cut flowing through my backyard, just a small stream that I can dip my bucket into the, you know, I have a hole in the porch, and then I can dip my bucket down and pull up fresh water and drink it. And, you know, what a beautiful thing to think about, just sitting out there and looking at all the things that God has created. Well, you walk on transparent gold. I mean, so Isaiah said, I am sought of them that ask not for me. This is God speaking. I'm found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was called by my name. So you see what happens in Isaiah is there's promises made, but God says, you know what? You're called by my name, Jerusalem. You're called by my name, Jews. You know, you're called by my name, sons of Israel. But you don't want me. You don't look for me. So I'm going to a people that never did look for me, and I'm going to appear to them. He's speaking of the Gentile bride here. We weren't looking for him, but he came for us. Amen. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, that's the Jews, which walked in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Like last week, you know, I mentioned that, you know, people, you know, so-called Christians, oh, pray for the peace of Israel or pray for the peace. Hey, listen, that's fine. You can pray for the peace of Jerusalem, not for the peace of Israel, because God never said pray for the peace of Israel. He said pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But everybody thinks, well, I better not say nothing against Israel as a nation because, you know, he that's for them is not for me or whatever. You know, the fact is, excuse me for summing on that, but the fact is that you can pray for their peace, but that doesn't mean you have to agree with everything their government does. All right? Now, I'm not saying anybody's perfect, this government especially. But he says, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walk in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. That is speaking of the Jews who rejected him when he suddenly came to his temple. Now just imagine, they built the temple to worship him, and when he came to them, they rejected the one who came to them. It's an oxymoron, okay? A people that provoked me to anger continually to my face, In other words, the Jews who finally put them away, who he put away in divorcement, that sacrificed sacrifices in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick. Oh yeah, can you imagine? These people were raised to know of the miracles of God and all the things that God did. And then the first thing they do is they go to a golden calf. Can you imagine the stupidity of such a people as, well, let's just pray to this gold. Yeah. Let's pray to this silver. Let's pray to this, you know, things that we can pray to. That's, I don't understand the sanity of a people who know God was, he's invisible. Yet he did all these visible miracles. And they can't hold on to that as a representation to know that he's there with them. So they turn to a golden calf, or they turn to Judaism, a law. Okay? When God made the law, it's called the Torah. And the word Torah means the instructions of the Father. It's not a legalistic do this and do that. It's instructions to know how to live better. All right? But they turned it from instructions of a father to a legalism like the Muslims are today, that you've got to do this or we cut your hand off. Now, can you imagine you steal and you get your hand cut off? Then you got to do everything with your right hand or left hand. You got to eat. You got to, you know, you wipe yourself, all that kind of stuff. You do it with one hand. It's just insanity. Or your daughter decides, I don't want to be a Muslim, so you kill her because, you know what? You want to keep the Muslim faith pure. Well, if the Muslim faith was pure to begin with, you wouldn't have to worry about it. But it isn't, okay? So people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, the Jew, that sacrifices in the garden and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remaineth among the graves and the lodge in the mountains, which eat swine's flesh. God told him not to do it, but they ate it anyway. You know, he knows swines carry trichinella. So he told them don't do it. They did it anyway. And the broth of abominable things in their vessels. Apparently they ate swine's flesh, even though God told them not to. That was an act that showed their rebellious nature as well. Well, nobody's going to tell me what to eat or what not to eat. Which says, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. That's the Pharisees. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. How many have ever stood by a big burning fire and you have to almost cup your hand because the burning sensation of the fire causes you irritation to breathe? You have to wear a mask. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. Your iniquities and your iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former works into their bosom. In other words, I'll turn the stench of your smoke into your bosom, okay? Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountain, and mine elect shall inherit it. Mine elect. Whether they're Jew or Gentile, if they were in the mind of God before the foundations of the world, they will inherit it. That's his bride. And my servants, servants of the Jews, shall dwell there. And listen, don't tell me Moses and, you know, there's people that think, well, the Old Testament saints, they're not bride. Says who? The prophet never said that. You got Moses, Elijah, you got men all the way through, they're going to be in the bride. They're the bride for their age. They were looking forward to his coming. We are looking back at his coming, but looking forward to what he has for us, okay? So they will be there. They are bride. They will inherit his holy mountain. They'll be there with us. Now, the run-of-the-mill Jew will not be, okay? Neither will the run-of-the-mill Gentile. And Sharon shall be It shall be a fold of flocks in the valley of Achor, a place for the herds to lie down for my people that have sought me. Notice, my people that have what? Sought me, okay? In other words, if you're looking for him, he'll appear. If you're not looking for him, you're going to miss it. Brother Brown said the rapture could take place and it passed right through you, and you won't, if you're not aware, you'll miss it, okay? Just like I heard him on tape many times. He was up in Edmonton, Alberta, and he told a woman, he said, stand up, claim your healing. The pillar fire is right there over your head. Stand up, claim your healing. And she just stood there, you know, like, what? And he said, I'm sorry, too late. And he went on. So she missed her healing because she wasn't aware. Okay? Now here is a warning. But ye that are ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish a drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall be and ye shall bow down to the slaughter. 6 million Jews killed in the slaughter in World War II. Because when I called you, you did not answer. He came, his first coming, and they didn't answer. When I spake through Jesus, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes. You crucified the body of God's Son, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Now, Brother Branham says in his sermon, Ten Virgins, he says, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds, that they should not blow upon the earth, nor on the sea, or any tree. And I saw another angel descending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was heard. It was given to hurt the sea and the earth. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, or the tree, until we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Now remember, the servant has always been, God's servant is the Jew. Abraham was his servant. The Gentile is not a servant, it's a bride, it's a son. This is a son, the church is. So, we are gone. Revelation 10:1, Brother Branham said, God comes down, all right? Through the seventh angel messenger, we receive all the mysteries. We are gone then. Now, that same angel that came down turns to the Jews, and then they get sealed in their foreheads. Then they get the Holy Ghost, 144,000 of his children. Now the plagues and all everything else. We've seen a preview of the plagues. We've seen how the... I won't say the word, but you know, we've all been through, you know, the plagues that man created. We've all seen how the mRNA has affected the people. You know, we hear tales out of China that, you know, there's half the people there that they used to have. Most of them were either killed in the plague or used for body parts or whatever. So it's a wicked thing that's coming on this earth. But it's going to get worse. But after the seal, after the Jews are sealed, okay? So the Jews are servants. Oh, and if we just had time to comb them words out, a lot of times I do in the room there, run it all the way through the references and get it up. The Jews are a servant. If I stand here and take up all that time on the servant, I don't hit the other spots, you see. So just remember, trace that through the Bible, you'll find that the Jew is God's servant. Now back to Isaiah 65, because we want to show you what he's saying. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, thy servants, the Jews, shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants, the Jews, shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants, the Jews, shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants, the Jews, shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart and shall howl for vexation of spirit. Now, for anybody doubting, all you have to do is read Deuteronomy 28. The first 15 verses are all the blessings of God if you obey the words and hearken to the words of the Lord. But then from 15, the second half of 15 all the way through, I think, 46, You see, it's the curses. And one of the curses is that every nation will be in debt. Every nation will borrow and not lend. All right? So the nations are going toward a, Brother Branham prophesied that there will be an economic depression that comes on this earth that'll make the first one look like a Sunday school picnic, okay? It's coming. It's coming. There won't be things to buy because your money is going to be so inflated that you can't buy. All right? Now, and ye shall leave the name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. That he who blessed himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and because they are hid from mine eyes. So we see the Jew will live in the new earth. But the city, New Jerusalem, is set aside for the bride of all ages, including the Old Testament. The Jews had rejected God's holy mountain and didn't think of that great promise from God. But Moses and Elijah never rejected, see, and all the other saints, okay? So God reserves his holy mountain for his elect, whether Old or New Testament, his elect. Now remember, that is that as we read further, okay? From future home, Brother Branham said, now, also in the book of Isaiah, now if you want to put these verses down, in Isaiah 65:17, Isaiah speaking of the millennium, that 1,000 years of rest for the people of God, Isaiah spoke of it, and he said, all the former things has passed away, and how they'll build houses and inhabit them. And if we had time, maybe we just take time and read this just a minute. Isaiah 65, now remember, Isaiah 65, he says, speaking of the millennium. And let's just read for a few minutes here, and here it is right for us. Now we begin Isaiah 65:17, and I behold, I create new heavens and new earth. So the first part of Ezekiel, you know, where you should eat and this and that, that's for the millennium. But now he creates a new heaven and a new earth, okay? Okay, and so we can keep our understanding clear. Remember, he said the new heavens is a millennium, and the new earth is where the people who live outside the city will live, and the elect will live inside the city. And of course, John saw the new Jerusalem come down from heaven like a comet. Can you imagine that? Brother Branham said, the new Jerusalem, John saw the new Jerusalem descending from heaven like a comet. Now you would think that if a comet struck the earth, it would totally destroy everything. Totally, like the big comets destroyed the dinosaurs and everything else. But from future home, John said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And where did it settle on? Just exactly like it did upon the earth. Jesus was part of that earth that the Holy Ghost descended upon, is that right? And remained upon him forever. It never can leave him. It's always there. He and God are one. Always has to remain. And so John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending like a comet. Or a dove. Wait a minute. A comet comes, and a dove comes, and just kind of lights. Have you ever seen Elon Musk's satellites that weigh thousands of pounds? And they come down like a comet, and all of a sudden they back down like a dove, and they enter into the little gate? In other words, like a comet, but not smashing into it, but rather lighting upon it slowly like a dove. So there is no evidence or no violence involved. And coming down out of heaven and settling upon a redeemed entire earth. So the first earth passes away with a great noise and fire that is violent. But then God creates a new earth. And when he brings down the new Jerusalem out of heaven, it comes like a comet, but it lights down like a dove. That's what the prophet said. Now, you can't say, well, that doesn't make sense. It comes like a comet, lights like a dove. Well, Elon Musk proved that that's right. All right? So science has proven this message, okay? To do what? To claim every attribute Excuse me. And when he brings down the new Jerusalem out of heaven, it comes like a comet. Okay. To do what? To claim every attribute that he made the earth for. Every man that was represented in the eternity and every woman is redeemed then. She's been scoured and burned by fire. Jesus, in his fiery temptations in the wilderness for 40 days, after that, notice, he was ready for his ministry then. Now think of it. You're going to be ready for your ministry as kings and priests after the great scouring of God, okay? Now, Isaiah the prophet was one of the prophets that wrote exactly the entire Bible in his prophecy. He started out with a creation in the middle of his book about the 40th chapter, comes around John the Baptist, the New Testament, and winds up there in his book in Revelations and in the millennium. There are 66 books in the Bible, and there are 66 chapters in Isaiah. He wrote a complete commentary. Now, we find out here now, he's getting the 65th chapter, one more chapter, and he speaks of the millennium. Notice it, how beautiful, behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. So you won't even remember anything that you ever did that was wrong. Now that is beautiful, all right? But believe, be glad and rejoice even in that which is created, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoice and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of the weeping shall be heard no more for the voice of crying. How many of our people were so full of joy and yet sorrowful at the same time? When you're full of joy, you forget your sorrow. All right? There shall be no more thence infant of days or an old man that has not fulfilled his days. For a child shall die 100 years old, and a sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Then shall, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and shall eat the fruit of them, and they shall not build and another inhabit. Now that is your farm. Your son falls heir to it, or some of your heirs, but it's not going to happen over there. They shall not plant and another eat there. They do their planting and remain there. They've got eternal life. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people, and my law, mine elect, shall long enjoy the works of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, not bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Now notice, here's where I'm going to get after a while. And it shall come to pass that before they even call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now this coincides with the quote where Brother Brown says, you look around and see your parents made it, and your brother and sisters are there. Then you can rejoice without worrying about anything else. Then you can focus all of your attention on him. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like a bullock. Dust shall be the serpent's meat, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Now, back to Satan's Eden, 87, paragraph 87. This is a great time. Everybody's got money. Everybody can do this, and everybody can do that. There's money flowing every way, and big cars and everything. There won't be one of them in the city. There won't be one car, one airplane. No, it'll be altogether a different civilization. It'll be, again, a civilization not of knowledge nor science, but of innocence and faith in the living God. Let us strive to enter into that, for that's my whole purpose, is to enter into that city someday. And just look back, coming along with me, see everyone you are marching when we sing, the saints go marching in. I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Let us pray, okay? Now, from Philadelphia Church Age, he said, a pillar in the temple of my God, and I will write upon him the name of my God. Now, what's the name of God? Jesus. And if you want to jot this down, we're getting a little late. Jesus in Ephesians 3:15 said, in heavens and earth, all is named Jesus. Paul actually said it. You see, all right, all right, all right, now. All right. And the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, I'll put on him. Oh, you can see it all the same name if you've already caught it. See, I'll put on him the name of the city of my God, the city. He goes ahead and says, you know, it's like, okay, so how many people live in Columbus? Well, what's the term for a person that lives in Columbus? Columbiana or whatever. You know, like if you're Ohio, you're Ohioan. If you live in Indiana, you're Indianan. Okay, so I will call him by the name of that city, okay? The city. He goes ahead and says, which is the new Jerusalem? See, the new Jerusalem, I'll put on him the new Jerusalem. Now, the bride or the church is the new Jerusalem. How many knows that? The church itself is the new Jerusalem. You believe that? From Anointed Ones, he said, that great church Jerusalem, the Jerusalem, and which is not here on earth, but we are the new Jerusalem of above, where the word come from predestination. See, not the old Jerusalem that perishes, the new Jerusalem that can't perish, not the old Jerusalem built by man, but the new Jerusalem built by God. See, the word up there now being made manifest. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'll go and prepare them for you. The Creator making the streets of gold and so forth, that's the one that doesn't perish. Again, from Satan's Eden 85, back. Over in Revelation 21, he said, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending from God, the mind of God, out of heaven. There was no more sea. The first heaven and first earth was passed away. What was the first heaven? It was a millennium. What's the first earth? Was this. It'll be renovated just like it was baptized by Noah in the days of his preaching. It was sanctified by Christ as he sprinkled his blood upon it and be renovated, take all the germs and everything off of it. And in the renovation at the end, with a fire baptism that'll kill every germ, every sickness, every disease, every filth that was ever on the earth, she'll burst forth and come forth anew. Now, I'm reading this again because I want you to get your focus on this, okay? And I saw a new heaven and new earth. First heaven and first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven. Now, from future home. And in the new earth, there is a new city. Oh my. Now listen close. Don't forget this, that Jesus is in St. John 14. He would go to prepare a place. Now, let not your hearts be troubled when he's going away. I have the reason to go away. You believe in God? He said, believe also in me. They couldn't see he was God. They missed it. Okay? He said, you're believed in God. You believed in God. Now, you believed in me. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house is many mansions. In my Father's kingdom is many places. Christ is there under the construction of this new Jerusalem now. And from sixfold purpose of Daniel, Gabriel. Now, in 2 Chronicles, turn over, and we'll see the dedication that when the Holy Spirit took his seat at the tabernacle, and watch what taking place. In 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter, and let's begin the 13th verse, 2 Chronicles, 5th chapter, begins the 13th verse. And it came to pass, as the trumpets and the singers were to make one sound, to be heard the praising and thanksgiving of the Lord, and when they lifted up their voices with the trumpet and the cymbals and the instrument of music, and praising of the Lord, singing, for he is good, and his mercies endure forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. God came into the sanctuary that was to be anointed and given over to him for the people to come worship. So to anoint not only the holy place, but to anoint the most holy place. And we notice that Jerusalem is the most holy, the new Jerusalem is the most holy place, and the anointing will be upon the new Jerusalem that descends from God out of heaven. So this anointing is like the earth has an atmosphere. Well, this atmosphere will be the anointing from God. You can't escape it if you're there. And we notice that the New Jerusalem is the most holy place, and the anointing will be upon the New Jerusalem that descends from God out of heaven. prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, the anointing will be upon them. Anyone there, it's going to be upon them. So what is this anointing, and how long will it last? Now, here's a mystery. Now, I will accept any anointing from God because it is all good. All right? Every gift from God is perfect, right? And in fact, there is several places that talks about the anointing wherewith God anoints comes down from God himself. So anointing comes from God. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he which establishes you, establish us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a baptism of God. All right. So the scripture establishes that it is God who anoints us. In fact, Jesus was the first one to receive the anointing of God's Holy Spirit, the entirety of it. Others had received it in portion, like the prophets. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Right? So God was with him. The anointing of joy was with him. Hebrews 1:9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So Brother Brown tells us this anointing of the Holy Ghost was actually the baptism of the Holy Ghost that Jesus received. So Jesus himself was anointed or baptized with the Holy Ghost, and every prophet of God was anointed with the Holy Ghost. From Elisha the prophet, Brother Brown said, and Jesus, the baptism that he had was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was in him, that come on him at the River Jordan after he was baptized in water. In other words, he was born with God life, but not the fullness of it. He was born with the God life that showed a son, okay? But when God entered him at the River Jordan, he now had received the entirety, okay? John bare record, he had seen the Spirit of God like a dove coming upon him, and notice, then when he went up, he sent back the same robe that he was wrapped in, the Holy Ghost upon the church. Okay, for manifested sons of God, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the anointing left him. You know, he had to die as a sinner. He died a sinner. You know that. Not his sins, but mine and yours. And from Messiah, he said, you see what Messiah is. Messiah is the kingdom of God. Anointed ones, them anointed with the same spirit that he was anointed with. Now, one said to him one day, will my son sit at the right hand and the left? And he said, can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? She said, yes. And he said, you will, but the kingdom to sit right or left hand is not mine to give. See, it's God's. So it showed that we could drink the same cup of persecution, be called Beelzebub, or whatever it might be, and still be baptized with the same spirit he was baptized with. So if he was called Messiah, which he was, because he was anointed with that Holy Spirit, and any church that's anointed with the same Holy Spirit is Messiah-et. A little or smaller God, and someday when this body is resurrected, I hope beforehand that God can get a hold of a bunch of people that'll manifest his power in every dimension that is supposed to be in. Messiah, anointed one, a king to deliver, a king, your kings and priests, kings to bring in, priests to minister to, and Messiah. His signs was to follow in all ages, reflecting his light, his presence, and his kingdom people. Possessing the enemy gates, he says, now, I might say this, that all of you heard the meeting, how it goes, they'll have you. All people's been in the meetings. See, when our Lord Jesus was here on the earth, he did not claim to be a healer. He was the seed of Abraham, certainly, and he had the promise with him. He said he did nothing till the Father showed him. Is that right? And he said, I can do nothing till the Father shows me what to do. And he saw it, not till the Father tells me, till the Father shows me. In other words, he's talking about a vision, okay? St. John 5:19, what I see the Father do, that doing the Son likewise. Now, when he come, we find out in the beginning of his ministry that after he was taken the seat, of David, spiritually speaking, when the Holy Spirit come upon him at the baptism of John, he become the anointed Messiah. Now, remember, he was the Son of God when he was born. He was God's virgin birth, born son. But when he become Messiah, that's when the Holy Spirit come on him, because the Messiah means the anointed one, see? And he was the anointed one when the Holy Spirit come on him. You heard me preach on the Lamb and the Dove. Then we find out then that after his 40 days of temptation, he came out. And from Messiah, he said, no wonder Elijah laid his body upon that baby and it come to life. It was God in that man. God had took over. He was anointed. Jesus said he was. Every prophet of God in the Old Testament was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Now, do you think, like some people, well, no, they're not in the bride, you know, only the New Testament. Well, then, you know what? How could somebody filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed by God, not be in the bride? I just don't understand these people saying it's old theology. You see, it's old theology. They think like the Baptists or like the Pentecostal. They were lesser lights. He was the fullness of God being the Messiah. They was Messiahettes then, smaller Messiahs, for they were anointed with the same spirit that he was anointed with, only he had it in the fullness. And every man today that's received the true baptism of the Holy Ghost is anointed with the same spirit that Jesus of Nazareth was, that went about doing good and healing the sick of mine. That makes me feel good to know that he lives today. There's something about a man, he is a God. He was made to be a God. His purpose here on earth was to be a God, to have a dominion over everything in the earth. Oh my, now don't let that stagger you, because I got some more scriptures wrote down here, see? 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. All right, so you got the anointing. Well, listen, people say, well, I don't need to sit under a preacher or a teacher because I got the anointing. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, Brother Branham qualifies this statement when he said in his sermon from question and answer on the image of the beast. He said, you say, well, glory to God, the Bible said that when the Holy Ghost has come, you don't need any teacher. He's a teacher himself. Oh, brother, how can you be so little from reading the scriptures? Why did the Holy Ghost set in the church then? Say, well, I don't have to have anybody teach me. The Holy Ghost teaches me. It does through a teacher. He set teachers in the church. He said, are all teachers, are all apostles, are all gifts of healing? The Holy Ghost set those things in the church. He operates them all, and even one of them operates orderly. Every one of them operates orderly, or each one. So like what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you won't understand the things of God. So unless you have the Holy Ghost in you, you cannot understand the things of God. But that doesn't mean you can turn down teachers that God sends. To turn down him, who he sends is to turn down Jesus himself. God still uses teachers to teach you, and then the Holy Spirit anointing in you will understand what the teacher is teaching. Because two different people, one with the anointing of God, one without, can hear the teacher, and one says, oh, that's malarkey, I don't believe it. And the other says, that's the truth, that's what God said. Amen. All right? Jesus himself said that he was anointed by God. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he, God, hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, to recover of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. But in referring to the New Jerusalem, where Brother Branham said, God will anoint us all that are there, have you ever wondered what this anointing will be upon us and how long will it be upon us? From sixfold purpose of Gabriel, again, I'm going to read it a second time. Let's take now what will take place during that time. Oh, do you love it? Let's turn to Isaiah 65, just a minute, just to do good by just too good to skip by. It's just too good to leap. Might be a little hot, but let's just keep moving. Isaiah 65. Listen, whatever takes place during that time, and just ask yourself, sinner friend, if you could afford to miss it. Isaiah 65. Let's begin with about 17th verse. Listen, everybody, close out. This is during the time of millennium when the Most Holy is anointed. For behold, I will create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, but nor come to mind. But be glad and rejoice, even in this which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem. I create Jerusalem. That's the new Jerusalem. A joying, and her people a joy. That atmosphere around the whole new earth and Jerusalem will be joy. That's the new Jerusalem, joying, and her people a joy. What is the anointing? The joy of the Lord. And that's scriptural. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his parousia? He's coming. Okay? Luke 15:10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And again, Jude 1:24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So you see how God will see you. God will come down with an anointing that comes all around us. Just like there's an aura around the earth, an atmosphere, the atmosphere of the entire New Jerusalem will be joy, because in the presence of the joy is, or the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, I hope that my words help the people understand that we have nothing to fear. We have all to be looking forward to. We know that there will never be boredom, because we'll be in the presence of the Lord, and you will anoint us with joy. There'll be singing and praising and just glorying in your presence forevermore. And we just ask that we would understand this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.